Turn with me, if you would, for a short time, as the Lord will enable us, to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, and looking at the beginning of the chapter, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. And we want to particularly, looking at the three verses, but we want to take as our text this morning, verse 3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. We come to the first day of a new year, 2024. And as I begin, I would seek on behalf of not only myself, but Katrina and the girls, to wish you all a very happy new year. We pray that this will indeed be a blessed year to every one of us, not only as individuals, but as a congregation. Time of a new year is a time when you often look back, and you look back at the past 12 months. And some of us will look back at the past 12 months and we will see many blessings that have been derived from the past year. The past year may have brought providences to us that have blessed us, and we can see that it's been a good year. And we have reason to come on the first day of a new year to praise the Lord. One of the brethren at the door said yesterday, I enjoy the New Year's Day service. It's one of the best services, and it's the best way to start a new year. And we would surely agree with that. It's a good time to come and to praise the Lord for the many blessings that we have received. But the past year is also a time where there are those who have had many difficulties. Perhaps they've looked back on the past year and it's brought sorrow, it's brought grief. Perhaps you've lost one whom you have loved. That can be a trying time. And the past year, we know of those who have experienced that in a difficult time because they've lost ones whom they have loved. But as a congregation, we can identify with both. We have had many blessings in the congregation. We have been able to preach the gospel here over the past year. We have met together. I personally am able to say how blessed we are with the office bearers that we have in the congregation. I've been in this congregation now for over 20 years, and never once have we had a fallout or a disagreement with the office bearers. And we are thankful for that. And we have good office bearers and faithful office bearers, and some of them not even able to get out to the church today. But nevertheless, I have reason to be thankful for the office bearers we have. But at the same time, we have lost one of our elders in the past year. That's a grief to us. But we don't only meet here in Edinburgh, we remember the congregation in Arran. Because what is true of the congregation here is equally true of the congregation in Arran that meet with us. There's such a close relationship between our own congregation here in Edinburgh and the congregation in Arran who join with us in worship, even down in the island there. And I can say the same for Arran. I went to Arran in 30 years ago this year. 30 years, and I've had an association with Arran for that length of time. And never once have I ever had a fallout with the office bearers there, and they've been very faithful to us. And in Arran, they in the past year have known what it was to lose one of their members, a valued member early on in the year. And so we gather together and we remember things, a New Year's Day service, we remember the past, things that we may be blessed with and things that have given us problems and scientific sadness. But what about the future? When we come to a first new, when we come to a new year, it's a time of the year when people make resolutions. You look forward to the coming year and the resolutions that you make for this coming year. Over these last 24 hours, people will have made many resolutions. Some of these resolutions will not last the day. They will be made and they won't even last the day, let alone a year. Others make their resolutions, they may last to the end of the week or a month. But so often resolutions fall to the ground. But what about the Christian as he looks forward? Well, our text today brings us to think upon the future and commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The way for our resolutions to be established and to prosper is to trust and commit them to the Lord. What resolutions are you seeking to make today for the coming year? What do you want for this coming year? Well, the Bible tells you, commit it to the Lord. Commit it to the Lord. Now, there are three things that are necessary in this. First of all, knowing the Lord. Secondly, knowing yourself. And thirdly, achieving your resolution. Knowing the Lord, knowing yourself, achieving your resolution. First thing is knowing the Lord. Now, when you come to the Proverbs, Proverbs is a book where you have small proverbs given, and some, many of them will stand on their own. That the wisdom, the proverbs that are given to us, expressing wisdom. How we ought to listen to wisdom. He says that in the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. To have an ear to hear and an eye to see the things of the Lord. And that's wisdom. But sometimes these proverbs are not just individual verses, but sometimes they're attached together. And I think the first three verses of Proverbs today we want to attach together. Because it's telling us how to commit and why we commit our works unto the Lord. In verse 1, we are told that. It is by the Lord's enabling that we achieve anything. Therefore, we need to know the Lord. The preparations of the heart and man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Whatever we prepare to do in our heart, whatever we may purpose to do in our heart, and the answer that is given in the outward tongue of expressing that, you can only do it by the enabling of the Lord. It's from the Lord. How often do we think in the past year and in the past years, we think that we are able to achieve so much. We think that we can achieve this, we can achieve that. But the Proverbs tells us here, Proverbs tells us, the preparation of the heart and the answer of the tongue, it's from the Lord. It is the Lord that enables us to achieve anything at all. How does the Lord enable us to do that and to achieve it? Well, sometimes in Scripture, the Lord intervenes directly. The heart of Balaam, for example, was that he would curse the Lord's people. But what he had prepared in his own heart, the Lord overruled. Rather than cursing God's people, what came out of the tongue was a blessing. The Lord overruled the heart of Balaam. And you might think that that's just Balaam, but even Paul himself. Paul intended that he would preach the gospel in Asia. But the Holy Spirit forbade him. He couldn't open his mouth. Whatever Paul intended from his own heart, it was the Lord alone that was able to give him the power to do it. And we need to remember that as we enter into 2024. We may have resolutions, we may have purposes, we may think what we want to achieve, but it's only achieved by the power and the strength of the Lord Himself. It's the Lord's enabling. We need to know the Lord. Sometimes, as we have seen with Balaam and with Paul, the Lord directly intervened and simply overruled the intentions of the heart. But other times, the Lord uses providence itself. Sometimes you might intend something, but providence, God uses divine providence to overrule the intentions. You might intend something, you might purpose something, but God's providence doesn't allow you to do it. God stops you from doing it. And my friend, also, God rules over the heart, not just by providence, stopping, and you go back through the Old Testament, how often the enemies of God's people had purposed to destroy God's people. Yet the Lord, by his providence, overruled. Sometimes bringing showers of rain and hailstone that slew the enemy. Sometimes using miraculous means and providence to stop God's people from being destroyed. There is a purpose in the heart today, and we live in a day when the devil is rampant. The devil seeks to destroy God's people. The devil seeks to sow tares into God's church. But God's overruling providence dictates. God's overruling providence will keep his people. God's overruling providence will preserve his cause, despite the many intentions of evil, ones. But God also rules, and the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. God also rules in the heart, not just by outward providence, but by the inward change of a new birth. God changes the heart. God rules and changes and brings a new birth. You might be purposing many things in your life. You're unconverted here today. You may be purposing what you're going to do with your life. Young people in the congregation, we lost an elder. It's good to see young people in the congregation. Wonderful to see young people coming into the congregation. These young people may have aims in your life. You may be aiming, this is your purpose in life, this is what you're going to do at work. But you see, the Lord can overrule that. The Lord can overrule that. He can change your life. He can bring about a new birth, and your whole purposes become completely different. It's no longer a purpose that's centered on me. It is a purpose now that is to glorify God. We pray that in the coming year, not just the young people here, but anyone who is yet a stranger to God's grace, that whatever purpose you think you have for this coming year, that the Lord would overrule and have another purpose for you. A purpose that's for good. A purpose that would bring you to his Son, Jesus Christ. The preparations of the heart are one thing. The answer of the tongue is another. But it's the Lord that overrules it all. So what do we learn from that? Well, we need to thank God at the beginning of another year for all the providence, every providence that he brings our way. But we also need to learn how we need to pray to the Lord. Don't just purpose in your own heart. Don't just think that you are going to speak it. But pray that the Lord would enable you to achieve whatever it is that you want to achieve. You want to be a better Christian. You want to walk a better life. Pray the Lord that he will give you the strength. Pray the Lord that he will bless you with the grace and the power of his Spirit to walk in that way. Seek the preparation of the heart from the Lord. How do you do that? Well, you do it by prayer, by seeking the enabling of the Spirit to seek the blessing of his word, to be in God's house and to be under the preaching of the gospel, to have your ears open to hear what the Lord will say to you, that he will prepare your heart, that he will enable you to speak the words because he has enabled you. It's from the Lord. He's enabling you to do it. Prayer. Pray the Lord that he will guide you and give you the strength and his enabling. We need to know the Lord. If we are going to achieve what we want to achieve, the good things that we want to achieve in this year, we need the enabling of the Lord. But the second thing you need to know is to know ourselves. Not just to know the Lord, but to know ourselves. And in verse 2, we are told something that we may not like to hear, but something that we need to take on board. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit. You see, how natural man sees himself is that he is blind really to himself. He's blinding himself. He's in darkness. Man by nature is in darkness. You see that when you go out into the streets or you see to someone and you say to someone, you're a sinner. What's their first response? I'm not a sinner. I've not sinned. Of course I haven't. They don't realize and know their own heart. They're blind. They're blind and they are deaf. The ear that heareth the proof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. Man is deaf and blind to his own sins. My friend, that's true of every one of us in many respects. Whenever we sin, we make excuse for our sin. We close our ears to conscience. We close our ears to what the Bible is saying to us. We are often better at seeing the sins in others than we are at seeing the sins of ourselves. We are better at seeing the mote that is in our brother's eye than seeing the beam that is in our own. Why? Because we always see ourselves better than we actually are. The Bible tells us what we are. Every single one of us. Nothing but hell-deserving sinners. And if we are going to achieve anything in this coming year, we need to be humbled under God's mighty hand. We need to be humbled as a congregation. We have many reasons for blessings, but we need to be humbled. We need to be humbled as individuals. We need to be humbled as a denomination. We need to be humbled because we always think better of ourselves than we actually are. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. That's the old Adam. That's the old man. He doesn't see his sin. That's what was wrong with the scribes and the Pharisees in the Lord's day. They saw themselves better than they really were. What did they achieve? They couldn't achieve anything for the person lying in the pool of Siloam. If you've ever been to Rome, the great structures of St. Peter's, and outside it, lying people, lying in the streets. That's the one thing that struck me. People lying in the streets, going there in pilgrimages, people seeing them lying there in the streets, and that institution has nothing to say to these people. It's bankrupt because they don't see their own sin. They are clean in their own eyes. My friend, he says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. This is the heart of Adam. Why? Why is that? Because they don't have a knowledge of self. If we are going to achieve anything in this coming year, we need to have a proper assessment of ourselves. And if we have a proper assessment of ourselves, we discover that there is no righteousness infused into God's people. The only righteousness we have is a righteousness that's imputed, and it's the righteousness of Jesus Christ, imputed and received by faith alone. We don't know ourselves, and we don't know the law of God. We don't know God's law. God, who has purer eyes than to look upon iniquity, And yet we are sinners in his presence. How that ought to, how the death of Christ and what Christ did in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he made his way out of the garden and was arrested, how that ought to humble every single one of us. You see, when we weigh our own lives, we get it wrong. But look what it says here. But the Lord weigheth the spirits. It's what the Lord weighs. It's how the Lord evaluates each one of us. What then does that mean as we come into 2024? Well, it means that we need to study ourselves. We need to study our own hearts. We need to know our own hearts. We need to come not only and pray that the Lord would have, we would have the enabling of the Lord to achieve what we would want to achieve, but we also need to come and confess our sins and be washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We need to come always, every day, like the disciples, how the Lord came and washed their feet. Peter says, you'll not wash me. Christ says, if I don't wash you, you're none of mine. Well, then wash me all over. You don't need to be washed all over. You're already clean, but you do need to have your feet washed. And is that not true of every one of us? We not only need the enabling of the Lord, the enabling of the Spirit, the enabling of the Word, the enabling of the Lord Himself, as we are told in verse 1, we are needing to be washed of our sins if we are to achieve anything of our resolution in the coming year. If we are going to be better Christians, then we need to come to the cross of Jesus Christ. We need to come to His finished work and say, Lord, wash me. Wash me that I would be clean. Lord, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, I weigh up my own sins. I get it wrong. But Lord, Thou knowest. Thou knowest even the sins that I don't even know of committed. Not only the sins that we know, the sins of omission, the sins of commission, but even the very sins that we don't know. In the Old Testament, the sacrifices were given not only to satisfy the sins that were known, but even the sins that they didn't know had to be taken account of. And is that not true today? And we are thankful, surely, as we come into a new year, that the Lord enables His people by His Spirit, by His Word, but He also enables them by washing them in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Seek the cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ. So we need, first of all, to know the Lord. We need, secondly, to know ourselves. We need the enabling of the Lord. We need the washing of regeneration and the washing of the blood of Jesus Christ. Have you in the past years sought the Lord Himself, His enabling? Have you sought the Lord that in His Spirit and His Word? Have you prayed? Have you sought to be cleansed from your sin, confessing your sins, knowing yourself, coming and seeking the washing of regeneration and the washing of the precious blood of Jesus Christ? Well, you need that. Simple resolutions at the beginning of the year won't get you anywhere because you don't have the power to achieve these things. You don't have the power to be a better Christian unless you have the enabling of the Lord. You don't have the power to fulfill any of your Christian resolutions unless you come and have the washing of the blood of Jesus Christ, taking away your sins. But that leads us to the third. Knowing the Lord, knowing ourselves, achieving our resolutions. achieving the things that we desire. And you get that in verse 3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. How do you seek to achieve the things that, as a Christian, you may seek to achieve? You just go out and seek to do it yourself. You can't do that. You need to commit your way to the Lord. You need to commit all your works to the Lord. You need that spiritual strength. You need the spiritual cleansing. You need the work of the soul. You will fail, and I will fail, and our congregation will fail, and our denomination will fail, and the Christian church at large will fail unless we commit whatever we seek to do to the Lord. We need to commit it to the Lord. As we set out with these resolutions, how do you commit your work to the Lord? Well, it's like coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and you're casting your burdens upon Him. You're committing the outcome to Him. You're not dictating to the Lord what He will do. You are committing it into His hands that He will achieve for you what is the best for you in the coming year. You see, we often think, we often assume that we know better than the Lord knows what is good for us. But we don't know better than Him. How do we know what is best for the church? How do you know what is best for you? You can't know that. But you can be assured that you will accomplish and that what you have will be established if you commit it to the Lord, because He knows what is best. He knows how to deal with this church. He knows how to deal with you. That's why when you come in prayer, even the Lord last night, when we see the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, what a wonderful example we have of prayer. The Lord desired one thing in His human nature. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. What is He doing? He is committing His work into the hands of the Father. But He adds, not my will, thy will be done. You see, committing our works unto the Lord is committing it into His hand and being willing to receive and to accept the answer that the Lord Himself will give. Committing it into the hands of the Lord. Not coming and dictating, but coming in prayer and saying, Lord, thou knowest the situation. Thou knowest what I need. Thou knowest how it can be that I can achieve being a better Christian, being a better parent, being a better husband, wife, or being a better in the workplace, or whatever it may be. Thou knowest, O Lord, and I commit it into thy hands. You're committing your troubles, your problems, you're casting all your cares upon Him, knowing that He careth for you. You're willing to accept that He is the one that is able to do it when you cannot. You're casting it into the hands of the one. Look at verse 4, the Lord hath made all things for Himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. What power! He is the creator. He is the one who upholds all things. He has the great purpose to everything. You're committing it to the hands of the Lord. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Committed unto the Lord. He alone is able to establish not just the tongue, not just the preparation. You see, when you come to church to worship the Lord, the preparation of the hearts of the Lord. The Spirit is of the Lord. The washing of regeneration and the washing in the blood is of the Lord. When you come and then you pour out your heart to Him and say, Lord, I'm going to commit to you what is concerning me, what is a burden upon my soul. I want to be resolved that this problem, this trouble, this my walk in this life, my life, my everything, I commit it into thy hand, because thou art the one that is able to do for me more than I can ever ask for thing. Now, what does that mean for us? Committing it into the hand of the Lord, and that works into the Lord, not only means casting it, it means bringing it in prayer. Bringing it in. Remember the woman that came to the Lord Jesus? She had a problem. He knocked at the door, wouldn't answer. Good thing not kept on, persevered. And the Lord, because of that, answered her prayer. You today seek to be a Christian. You say you want to be a Christian. My friend, if you want to be a Christian, I'll send you to prayer. Committing your state, your mind, your life before the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a Christian. You have resolved that you want something, or there is a problem, or you want to do something, you come in prayer. Commit it to the Lord. Commit your work to the Lord. He's able to do for you more than you can ask or think. And he's able to do what is right for you, even when you don't know what's right. He knows what's right, and he will achieve it for you. He will achieve it for you. So what does all that mean? You notice in all three, I've mentioned prayer. If there's anything the church needs today, people say what the church needs is to become more modern. What the church needs is to become very user-friendly and all the rest of it. My friend, that's not true. What the church needs is not a forward movement. As people say, we need a forward movement. No, we don't. We need a backward movement. We need to get back to prayer, to casting ourselves on the mercy of the Lord. There's one thing that should occupy the minds of every one of us. The devil today is rampant. The devil today is busy. The devil today is busy sowing seeds and tares in the house of God. He is busy out there with all manner of things, attacking the nation, attacking our young people with all manner of filth, attacking the church, attacking God's people. What do we do? Go out there and attack back? No, we don't. We're on our knees. That's where we begin. That's where we start. We need to get on our knees in 2004 and pray that the Lord will cast our cares, cast our burdens, cast and commit the works unto the Lord. Because he's able to do it. He's able to do it. And we can go about trying to do many things. We can try and do it in our own strength. We can try and do it ourselves, but it's not working. And it never will work. And the Lord has blessed his people, as we have seen through the book of Judges. Many things were done in the days of the judges, seven judges, Othniel, Ehud, and Deborah, Samson, Jephthah, all these different judges.